You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras. I'm Anthony Cashman. We're going to talk about the Detroit Tigers, who in that back and forth battle with the Kansas City Royals, and Tigers really took care of business in the home series against the Royals this week. They won the series and just further established their dominance of the Royals when they play head to head. Through the first 15 games of the season series, the Tigers had won 11 of the 15. So, you know, if you could apply that winning percentage everywhere else, the Tigers would be running away with the division. But as it stands, the Royals have given them a real run for their money. And let's bring in Jason Beck to talk about that. Beck, when you watch these two teams head to head, I mean, is that ultimately, do you think that's going to be the story of this division race? Is it just a more veteran, you know, more proven team taking over against a team that hasn't been there? Or, you know, obviously the Royals are going to be pesky all the way through, but I guess does the head-to-head really prove something about where these two clubs are at?
I think to some extent, yeah, I think that's part of the story. The Tigers played like a team that was used to being in these situations. And the Royals, you know, whether or not they felt the pressure, they look like they did. And if you talk to Tigers players, you know, a lot of them thought they saw signs that suggested the pressure was shifting from why aren't the Tigers in front by 20 games to are the Royals going to be able to hang on to this?
Right.
And I think, you know, just little things. You know, like the pinch running thing, you know, the one night, you know, Jared Dyson gets on. It's a clear sign that they're going to try something, and then he flinches. Or, you know, in the first game of that series, there were some key defensive miscues there. You know, stuff that not necessarily was scored errors, but just plays that in tight games, some of which you have to make to give your starting pitcher a chance, or at least a chance to catch his breath while he's getting an onslaught of doubles and singles. Just little things like that. And I think the Tigers sensed that, and I think that kind of contributed to a little bit of the killer instinct.
Yeah, and they had that killer instinct a week earlier with the Indians as well. The Indians were kind of playing themselves back into that division race, almost inconceivably with all those young guys in their lineup, and the Tigers really took care of business, winning 3-4 in Cleveland, and they'll have another chance to take care of business this weekend against Cleveland just to make sure that the Indians don't have another uprising. But, you know, the big news for the Tigers this week and what could be a big separator for them is getting their bullpen back whole of Joaquin Soria, supposed to be activated midweek after, you know, dealing with the left oblique injury shortly after they acquired him in July. You know, Beck, I don't think you can put Soria directly in the closer's role after missing all that time, but you do have to think about, you know, Joe Nathan's overall struggles, his recent elbow soreness. Jabba Chamberlain has not been the same guy in the second half that he was in the first. Is this, do you think there's enough time left in the season where Soria might even take over that closer's role at some point, or is he better suited to the setup role? What are your thoughts on that?
I think if Joe Nathan goes south again, you know, maybe you see it. I think they like what they've been seeing out of Nathan recently. You know, he's throwing the ball better. You know, he's not necessarily pounding the strike zone a ton. You know, I think he's still kind of, you know, trying to pick out the corners a bit, but he's getting some success out of it, and he's not getting hit for those, like, massive, you know, base hits off the wall or over the wall or anything like
right.
that to the same degree lately. I think the bigger insurance that Soria provides is for Jabba. I think, you know, he hasn't fallen apart, but he's had just, you know, a little bit more struggles that make you go back and you look at the workload he's had to take on, you know, first of all, early in the year, but especially in the past month with Soria out. And this gives you a chance to mix and match a little bit. This gives you a chance to give Jabba Chamberlain a game off here and there. You don't have to rely quite as much on him. You can kind of, you know, freshen him up to some extent for the postseason, and, you know, if they're fortunate enough to get there, and for the stretch run if this remains close.
you know, maybe just even freeze them up offensively a little more, just mentally. I talked to some Tigers players when they were in Cleveland last week, and there was a sense among some of those guys, we got to score like 7 runs a game just to feel like, you know, the game is really in hand. The way their bullpen was going, it was, you know, just any time a team is shaky in the back end of the bullpen, there's that effect on the rest of the club. You see that on starters, you see that in the offense, but, you know, Soria should help that quite a bit. But, you know, one guy, it always comes back to this guy offensively, Miguel Cabrera playing with now we know it's a bone spur in his right ankle. And, of course, that's the back ankle where hitters generate so much power. Now that we know what it is exactly, Beck, do you have an even greater appreciation for, you know, what this guy does offensively? He had a really rough August, but September he's come back exceptionally strong.
Yeah, it's kind of a reminder of what we saw down the stretch last year where he was playing through, I mean, basically a groin tear and still hitting, you know, not hitting for much power, but still hitting. Now you're starting to see that power come back really to all fields, although it seems like he's pulling the ball a little bit more now than he was. You know, this guy just, you know, he gets banged up, he gets worn down, and he makes adjustments to find ways to be productive, and that athleticism kicks in, and that explosive swing just, you know, gets tweaked and polished a little bit to where it's, you know, even if it's not ideal, it's workable. And for him, workable is, you know, better than most guys' ideal swing. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's as impressive as it was to watch the Triple Crown season and watching everything go right and watching this, you know, magical historic year come together, I think what he's done the last two late season stretches, you know, deserves a lot of recognition in its own right. And I don't think it's going to, you know, go down in history like that, but I think those of us who watched it are going to appreciate it down the line.
Yeah, and you talk about adjustments. I was watching him even more closely those first two games against the Royals. Once you knew it was the bone spur, and you do see he definitely made an adjustment in his balance, and maybe even you know, trying to generate more power of that front foot than he normally would. But that guy can make adjustments with the best of them. No doubt about it. As they go forward, Jason, do you think, what's the best way to handle first base? Is it just kind of what they're doing, just kind of mix and match him and V-Mart, really keep Mickey off his feet for a couple, few days at a time? And you know, Victor is obviously a defensive downgrade at this point in his career. You don't want to overdo it with him at first base, but you obviously want to keep Mickey off his feet when you can too.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to have to do. You know, just you know, play them in two or three game stretches at first, and then, you know, swap them out. You know, between first and DH, it's not ideal, but it's pretty much, you don't have a whole lot of choice at this point. And I think, you know, with stretches like that, you know, Victor, I mean, you know him, you know, as well as anybody. He takes a lot of pride, you know, when he is out on defense. I think you can count on him to give you an honest effort out there at first, even if the body isn't always willing to do some of the things you got to do. You know, I think, you know, we saw it a little bit in the Kansas City series. He's reaching out like mad to try to get a throw and, you know, from the shortstop and you know, get there before the runner hits the bag. You know, this is his time of year too. You know, he missed out on the World Series run in 2012. You could tell how much that pushed him in 2013. And right now, you know, he's having enough of a contribution where I've got people asking me, you know, should Victor Martinez be in the MVP conversation? Well, it's tough to get a DH to really get a whole lot of serious recognition in there unless you're putting up David Ortiz tough numbers. But, you know, down the stretch, you know, he's not a full-time DH anymore. He's a part-time DH, part-time first baseman.
And yeah, he's tops in OPS and drove in 30 runs in August at a time when Miggy was really struggling. So I think he's definitely in the conversation. I don't know if you can put him ahead of Mike Trout, just knowing, you know, Mike Trout's impact on both sides of the ball, but I don't think it's all that crazy, frankly, to consider Victor, you know, at the forefront of that conversation. I think that's going to be an interesting interesting thing to look at as we get towards the end of the season, as we get at the end of the season and those votes are finally tallied. But so back in general, you feel that confidence, that veteran savvy kind of taking over in that clubhouse. Did it ever waver at any point, in that rough August? Or are you getting the sense that this team still has that, as you said, that killer instinct?
Yeah, I think it's there now. Whether it wavered, it kind of depends on who you ask. I've had a couple guys tell me that, we always knew we were capable of this. It was just a matter of, getting to that caliber of play at the right time. I've had other guys say that, we went through a rough stretch, and, there were times when the expectations hung over us. Talking with Joe Nathan, he got the definite sense that the pressure that they were dealing with all summer had shifted over to the Royals after, winning the first couple of games of that series. I guess, different guys observe pressure or detect pressure in different ways, but this is a team where I think to a man, that sense of pressure, if it was there, isn't there anymore. This is a team responding, and I think this is a team they expected to be, a lot of them anyways, and this is what brought them out. There were some guys who were waiting for the Royals to get into town so that they could show this type of play, because they felt that they had the caliber of play in, to beat these guys up a little bit.
Well, is that saying in baseball, the water finds its level, and perhaps that's the case with the Tigers here, especially now that Soria is coming back and presumably patching up an area that has been such a source of instability for them this season. So I want to thank Jason Beck for joining us. I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras Detroit Tigers Edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.